Good morning. It's good to be back in Lakeland, Florida, visiting with you. I got a haircut since that last picture was made, and I decided to trim the beard a little bit, and so forth. And for those of you in Florida who are natives, that white stuff you saw coming out of the sky, in Cleveland they call that snow. We're kind of a southern suburb of Canada where we live. But anyhow, it's good to be with you this morning. Good to be back at Redeemer. Pastor Dave, thank you for having us come in and share some thoughts this morning, and good to see some familiar faces. Take this away. Just throw it away. Just sell it. Anything you want. Okay, whatever. All right. But again, it is. It's good to be with you. We appreciate your thoughts and your prayers. I know there are a number of you that have followed us on this journey and have kept in touch. Cindy, we appreciate your prayers and your constant contact and different ones. And Lori, it's good to, you know, good to have you here. I'm glad to see that you still love Dave, and it's okay. It's all right. Indeed. John, it's good to see you. It's been many years. It has. And so forth. But again, this morning, thank you. Thank you for having us and being a part of this journey that we call life. This morning, this scripture that Cindy was reading there out of John chapter 16, very interesting one. And off of that, I'd like to share some thoughts with you. In fact, to be honest with you, it's kind of a long title of this talk. I'd like to talk with you about a tragic, wonderful, perhaps miraculous, awful, yet beautiful life. In other words, living when life hurts. And I look around here, and we all, you know, there's a lot of different looking folks here. I don't mean that ugly, okay? I mean, there's just some, we're all different at the end of the day. But when I look around here, we may all come from different backgrounds. True. We all come from many different backgrounds and different experiences and flavors of life. But there is a common denominator for everybody in the room this morning, and that is pain. I'm not a Debbie Downer, but I want to talk a lot about pain and trauma and things of this nature. But we may not always see pain. We may not see it in others, but trust me, it's there. In fact, odds are when you get this number of people together, the odds of somebody really hurting on the inside and nobody ever seeing it is probably pretty good. In fact, you know, since we've been on this journey, there's certain questions that have come along our way along this time frame, these last several years. People, you look at the pictures, the things that we've walked through, that Katie's walked through, Lisa's walked through, and you look at these things, and questions occur along the way, and people have asked, like, how? Why? How could something like this happen? Where did it come from? Did Rob, Lisa, did you miss something? That's always a good one. Did you miss something? Now, if only, and all the other should've, could'ves, and would'haves, if you had just done this, or if I just lived here, if I just had this, or just all these different things that have come our way, and they've appeared with kind of a blinding luminance. Every time they're asked, it's like the lights blind you with these questions. But the reality of it is, as you know, to turn a deaf ear to suffering's presence in our lives. And more than likely, when I look around here, I bet you everybody in here, to one degree or another, have walked through some painful experience in their life. Something that has really just cut you to the heart. And sometimes the world has known about it, and sometimes you have suffered in silence. And maybe you are this morning. But to deny pain's presence in humanity is to really deny the existence of one's very humanity. It really is. Even Jesus himself stated in the thing that Cindy read just a few moments ago in John 16:33, he said, you will continue to experience difficulties. Now that is a motto that you don't want to wake up to every day. Man, it's a new day. And you hear Jesus' words, hey, you're going to have trouble. You know, there's going to be a lot of problems. In this world, you have tribulation. But he finished it off when he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And I think that's where we all live, is that we know we've got pain. We know we have troubles, we know we have heartaches, and we know we have problems. But it's somehow living there and with that stuff, and somehow connecting with that thing where Jesus says, but I've overcome the world. And that's the big gulf sometimes. But I want to tell you something this morning before we go any further. In this social media world where everybody is beautiful and everything is great and every recipe tastes good, every recipe doesn't taste good. I'm just telling you. And some people are just have the gift of ugliness. That's just the way it is. Not everything is beautiful, but the world wants us to think it's that way. But the quality of living is not the absence of problems, but the navigating, learning to navigate through such turbulence. Heartache and suffering bring with it something you and I don't expect. Heartache and suffering bring with it, on the backside of it, an opportunity to somehow still function on this planet. Because when you're walking through something, when you're living through something, you just think you've got only one breath left. But on the backside of suffering, I want to tell you this much. On the backside of suffering, there is an opportunity to somehow still function on this planet. Because everybody in this room, everyone within the sound of my voice, guess what? We all have a call to live life, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Even when it comes crashing down all around us, and nothing resembles what it was before the pain took place. When all seems lost and everything about your life, okay? When everything about your life, when every dream you've had, and we've all had them. We all thought life would be a certain way. We'd walk a certain way and we'd do a certain thing. But all of a sudden now we've got our lives in front of us in a million pieces all over the ground. And there's something about our strange DNA and our frail humanity. And that is that in our frail humanity, in our twisted DNA as human beings, we can somehow, we think, we really honest to gosh believe that somehow we can avert hardship and tragedy for ourselves as well as our loved ones by simply doing all the right things. If I check off all the right boxes, if I put my kids in the right school, if I live in the right neighborhood, if I get the right job, if I marry the right guy or the right girl, or I live in a certain place, if I do all those things, then somehow, you know what? I'll make all the right choices and I will avert hardship. I will avert pain. Well, guess what? That's a fool's errand. Check them off, baby. Live where you want to. Make all you can. Do all the good stuff. Vacation in Aruba. Not a bad idea. Go where you want to go. Be all you can be. Do your thing, baby. But I'm going to tell you what. It's a fool's errand. Life still happens. I'm not a Debbie Downer. I like to live. But life occurs. And within its boundaries of living life, hardship is its reality and pain is its fruit. Okay? People struggle in this journey of life. They really do. Maybe you are this morning. People struggle in this journey of life in many ways, in various ways and means. There is struggle, there is pain, and there is trauma. And more often than not, I alluded to it a little bit in this video clip, but more often than we care to imagine, too many of us struggle to the point with thoughts of ending our lives. You get this number of people in a room, and the odds are pretty good that we've either had the thought cross our mind, stay with us for a few days, or we've come right to the cusp of it thinking, I just need to stop living. I just need to end my life. I will tell you this much. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death in the United States of America for those between the ages of 15 and 24. If it's like number one or number two, it's like number one or number two. But I think we've heard in the recent days, it's not just limited to the young. Just ask the family of Naomi Judd, 76 years old, her life ending in that fashion. So suicide and thoughts of it are no respecter of age, of ethnicity, of skin color, of socioeconomic status. No. It's it faces us. But what is it, folks? What is it that brings someone to that point? Man, it could be any number of things. In fact, the list could go on and on and on and on why people of any age or any circumstance are caught in the web of that dark place. I mean, with Katie, she was living a pretty good life. She had a fantastic father. She had a pretty good mom. Her siblings, jury's still out on that one. She had an uncle that lived here in Florida who sometimes was okay and sometimes we just stay far away from him. I'm teasing. He's right back there. You know, she was living life, but in a moment, when she was a patient at the Cleveland Clinic in those early weeks and months, the transplant psychiatrist, who's a brilliant lady, she said, you know what? She said, Katie, there's nothing that really precipitated that overall. There were things and circumstances, but she said she had a moment, a moment. How many of us have faced those dark moments that are like a sticky web that it just seems like it's hard to get out of? That dark moment, we're in that moment. And for some people, their moments are days, weeks, months, and years. But that dark moment with no hope. Because if you or someone you know have been struggling with such dark places and darkness and are entertaining those kind of thoughts on giving up on life, I have a simple message for you, and that is don't quit. Did you hear that? Don't quit. Don't quit. Anyone can get beyond that place. You can get through that next breath, that next moment, that very day. And then as you do, there will come a time when you will convey your journey in your words, your story, in your words, to someone else who is bleeding on the inside of their life. You can bring life to life, your narrative through your scars. How many in this room have scars on their body? Hold a hand up. I have one right here under this beard. At the ripe age of 2, I began shaving. I didn't realize that razor blades cut deep. There's scars. All of us have scars. We try to hide them. We try to pretend. We cover them over with tattoos or paint or lots of facial hair or long dresses or long sleeves. But I want to tell you something about scars. Here, listen to this. Scars tell a story. That's what life is. It's a collection of stories. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that's a good story? I didn't say make-believe. I said it's a good story. And the thing about it is, scars tell a story. They remind us of a time when life tried to break us down, but failed. Those scars you have inside of you that are there, be of good cheer. Why? Because they remind you on a daily basis that life tried, but it failed. They also remind us of what we've learned and continue to learn. So the little bit of time I got left here, I want to talk about the very ingredient of life that is so desperately needed by every single human being. Not just those who go to church, but those who are whatever, that live on this planet. That substance to our existence, which when it is absent, plunders even the strongest, the most affluent and exquisite of us all. Its significance brings not just an aspiration that we can get through our challenges, but that there is life yet to live. There's life yet to live. I'm talking about hope. H-O-P-E, hope. And I want to play with that word a little bit in a very constructive way for a few moments. Whether we realize it or not, it's our greatest need. It's our greatest need. One version of the ancient scripture says this. It says, hope that is withheld makes the heart sick. But when dreams come true at last, there is life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's the tree of life. If you don't have hope, you could have everything. But man, I'm talking to Christians, non-believers, whoever. If you don't have hope, You're sick on the inside. There's something, you can't function. It's hard to live. It's hard to exist on this planet. Think about that word hope. H-O-P-E. Perhaps there's something here that we talk about that can help you, help me, or maybe somebody that we know, love, or care for that is struggling with this thing called life. Let's look at those words. The letter H. Healing. Healing. No matter what you're going through, healing is at hand so long as you don't quit. Did you hear that? Healing is at hand so long as you don't quit. But listen to this. Healing is a process of becoming sound, healthy, to see an undesirable condition to be overcome. Proverbs 18:9 in the Amplified Version says this. It says, listen to this. I heard this a while back and I thought, oh wow. Proverbs 18:9 out of the Amplified says, he who does not use his every endeavors to heal himself is a brother to him who commits suicide. Scripture. If we don't pull out all the stops, use any angle to see our lives put back together, we are akin to someone who has taken their life or is taking their life. Listen, family, we need to use all the tools available to get better. We need to use every tool possible, whether it's faith, medicine, doctors, counseling, pastors, friends, whatever. Every tool, every single tool, maybe all the tools. And when each of us take up the courage to face our traumas and our pains, we need to know that healing, listen, that healing is not so much an event, but a journey, a process, baby steps. I have a grandson who's learning to walk. He looks like he's been on a horse for 17 years, the way he walks. Three steps, boom, down he goes. It's process. It's baby steps. It's an unfolding. Get this, though, but as human beings, though, in our DNA, our mindsets, we think it's got to happen now. But perhaps way too often when the extraordinary doesn't occur or things don't change as fast as we would like them to, that's where a sense of defeat and despair begin to wear us down. If it doesn't happen like this, we think, oh man, I miss God. God doesn't love me anymore. Why me? But it's a process. Remember, it's a road. 1 foot in front of another. Baby steps. O. Letter O in hope. Open up and allow others to help you. Open up and allow others to help you. I'm a proud man, and sometimes I think I can do it on my own. Most of the guys here, you fall in just a very small microcosm of this thing right here. Driving. Driving. We know, guys, we know where we're going. We think. Our wives are over there rolling their eyes saying, he doesn't know where he's going. That's just a silly way of looking at it, but we all do. We think, I can fix this myself. I can do this. I can make this happen. I can make my problems go away. I can solve everything. Goes back to the other thing of checking off the boxes, doing all the right things, making all the right moves, saying all the right things. But you know, we are, this vessel, this treasure, the scripture says, is in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels are like clay pots. And did you know clay pots have a great tendency to crack? I guess you could say we're all kind of crackpots in a way. We're all kind of chipping away. But it's, you know, we withdraw. Think about this. We withdraw. Sometimes the real reason is because we're afraid. Fear is a great paralyzer. You ever been afraid? Didn't know what to do in the moment? Fear is a paralyzer. Fear makes us withdraw into an emotional prison and beats us down with lies. You got your troubles, you got your pain, you got your traumas, whatever they might be. Fear causes me to come into myself, puts me in my own incarceration, and feeds me the lies. It says stuff like this. Have you said this before to yourself? No one understands. No one gets me. I don't trust anybody. No one understands. No one cares. No one's interested. Well, here's a good one. Nobody hurts like me. Here's another good one right here, Christians. That person can't help me because they haven't hurt like I'm hurting. They haven't gone through what I've gone through. Guess what? We haven't gone what they're going through, but there's something we have in common. We hurt together. But all these things are lies. Lies, man. Lies. Don't be afraid to reach out for help. Don't be afraid to reach out for help. As best as you can, as often as you can, reach out beyond yourself. Because we must come to grips with the reality that no man is an island. We really can't float our own boats. Our ship is sinking. We need somebody to bail us out. We need help. We've got to realize this. No one needs to suffer alone. No one needs to suffer alone. And how true it is that we need to bear one another's burdens. We simply can't do it by ourselves. You are not alone, though. There's always someone you can reach out to. Did you hear me? There's always someone you can reach out to. The letter P. P. Pain. Pain. Everybody hearing my words this morning is different. You don't have to say a thing. Just kind of glance to the person next to you. Just look at them. Just gently look at them. And in your head, say, man, they really are different. They're really different. Now, if you're not looking at somebody, it's because you're really different. You're bordering on strange. Different. But there's one thing we have in common. Everybody in the house. One thing we have in common. Pain. Pain is our common denominator and pressure a too frequent companion to our lives. No exception to that. None. Too often these ugly twins seem to be squeezing us like there's no tomorrow. Like an old wine press squeezing those grapes, squeezing those olives. Just literally squeezing the guts out of us. No future, no remedy, nothing beyond this moment when the pressure is so hard, making us feel like there's no hope, man. Pain and pressure look like they've won. And all of a sudden, those mental wheels start kicking in. Man, maybe if I just end it all. Maybe, perhaps to end it all is to be free of their ownership. How many people who have departed from us had those parting thoughts? God only knows. If this life would just be over, then I will be free of the ownership of pain and pressure over my life. Take this to heart. To quote Katie again, don't choose a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Don't choose a permanent solution to a temporary problem. E-H-O-P-E. E. Every storm can eventually end. Every storm can eventually end, even though that seems like it's hard to believe. Every storm. Psalm 46 verse 1 in the Good News Translation says, God is our shelter and strength, always ready, listen to that, always ready to help in times of trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, there is cover that you can run to. There is cover you can run to. There is a shelter even in the middle of your worst storm of your life. There's some place to go to. There's some place to run to. And it is never too late to find that place. You say, it's too late. I'm too old. I'm too far gone. It's too much life. It's too much water under the bridge. Too much water over the dam. Whatever. You say, it's too late. It's never too late to find that place. You can find the help that you need. There is a remedy. There is an answer somewhere, somehow. And you can find healing for your trauma, for your pain. You can find that healing for your heartache. And then once you do, once you are healed, once you are strengthened, there may come a time again that you can encourage someone else who is in the middle of their pain, because there truly is something called hope. A noted Christian leader said this one time. He says, "What is hope and what does it look like? We know what the dictionary says, a feeling of expectation. So in light of that," he went on to say, "sometimes hope is just wishful thinking. Yet at the core of our faith is a reality, a truth," he said. "We have given our lives to a faith that believes that a dead man rose from the dead. This is the foundation of our faith, this hope." Did you catch it? "This hope, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how much it appears that it is the end, it is not." End of quote. Wow. Even now, you or someone you know maybe can do something. Something can happen. Even now, you or someone you know can move towards some hope today, because life has extraordinary potential. Each life is a gift. Everybody in this room is a gift. You're a gift. You may feel like you're one of those toys that just doesn't fit in. You're on the island of misfit toys. You're a polka-dotted elephant. You're a unicorn without the corn. I don't know. No, man, you're a gift. You are a gift. That spouse of yours, they're a gift. You may have been fighting with them on the way to church. I don't know. Heck, maybe you've been fighting them all week. I don't know, maybe you hired an assassin. I don't know. It's been a rough week. I don't know. Those teenage kids you got. Yes, they are a gift. Those adult children who you've poured all your life into and gave everything. And now, you know, they're three sheets to the wind, or they're out there somewheres. Don't give a hoot and a holler about God or you or anybody else, just doing their own thing. Dial it back, baby. They're still a gift. Every life, each life is a gift. You are a gift. Each of us, though, have choices to make. In this crazy, mixed up, ever-changing, upside-down world that you and I live in, too many, though, are choosing to end their pain, not realizing that even though pain is real, it hurts. Even though pain is real, you and I, any of us, we are but passing through a valley, a shadow of a moment in time. We are not chained to the moment. As a songwriter once penned, he wrote these words: "Two roads diverged in the middle of my life, I heard a wise man say, and I took the one less traveled by, and it's made the difference every night. And every day, even though there's pain, folks, there is hope. A road to living life, one baby step at a time. Two roads. Which will you choose? I ask you to choose wisely." Before I leave, I ask you something, if you would do this for me. Before I go, will you do something for us? My wife and I and Katie, pray for us. Pray for us. In very practical ways, pray for Katie's appointments and therapies as she continues this journey of healing. People say, "Man, you guys got something going on." I say, "You know what? We've come a long ways, and we've got quite a ways to go. But thank God we have a road." Something else, pray for grace for Elise and I as we continue to navigate this journey. A couple practical things I really would ask you to pray for. It's a little selfish, but I'll ask it anyways. I ask you to pray for this book that I'm writing that is well on its way to being written, not too far from being done, about this journey, that it, somebody would read it somewhere down the line, and maybe they'll hear something that will be whatever. Quick side note, a lot of this stuff about Katie has been on YouTube. You know, it's been all over the place. My son told me this. There's a clip of one of the documentaries on YouTube, and you know how people put comments down there and likes and dislikes. He said, "Dad, I just want to tell you something. I was watching one of the documentaries. It was online. It was on YouTube. And somebody put a comment on there that said, I saw this video, and today I was planning on ending my life. And then I saw this, and I heard this story, and I decided not to." Pray for us that somebody will hear some more, and somebody will hear something that will speak of life. And one other practical thing, we are looking at developing a nonprofit organization, Carpe Vitam, Seize Life, putting it together, and that this nonprofit, the goal behind it is that as it would develop, that it would allow me to go into places, particularly schools that don't have budgets, to have somebody come in and talk about hope and life to some of these young people. Go into businesses, talk to these businessmen who simply, they're at their wits' end, they're under such pressures, to talk to different people and different organizations just to say there's hope and there's some life yet to live. Thank you, Pastor Dave. I'll turn it over to you, whoever.
Heavenly Father, we lift up Rob, Lisa, and Katie to you. We ask that, especially today in unique circumstances, that we pray that you would surround them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we cry out to you, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would do a mighty work, continue to do a mighty work, that you would bless this ministry, that you would use their experience to save lives and to draw people to you. Lord, we especially pray for Katie's siblings, that they would be encouraged, that they would be reminded that you would work in their lives, that you would work to restore them and to make them whole through all of this. Lord, we ask for their healing and for your blessing upon them. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. If you please stand for the benediction. A few weeks ago, I preached about benedictions. Benediction is a good word. It is being sent away, and a proper way to receive a benediction is with your arms open. So I share with you, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you both now and the rest of this day, the rest of this week, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.